Perhaps the most serious problem facing the world is our failure to meet basic human needs for safe water, affordable water, and adequate sanitation. We know how to solve the water and sanitation problem, but there are still billions of people without access to safe and affordable water. And that's probably the worst challenge. But we also face challenges with growing conflicts over water resources and the growing threat of climate change, which will affect water availability and water quality around the world.
You just talk about conflict. Can you give some example of these conflicts?
Well, there are many examples, unfortunately, throughout history of conflicts over water resources, over access to water, the use of weapons to attack water systems during wars that start for other reasons. And increasingly, I'm concerned about conflicts over access to availability, not between nations, but within a nation, among ethnic groups, or between farmers and the cities, or between pastoralists and farmers. We see a growing risk of violence over scarce water resources and who has control over them and who has access to them. Many of those examples come from the Middle East and Northern Africa, where water is in short supply and where populations are growing. But we also see conflicts over water between states in India, for example, between Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, between upstream and downstream participants in a watershed. We see growing risks of conflicts over water on the Tigris and the Euphrates River, shared by Turkey and Syria and Iraq. So I would say no region is immune from these kinds of conflicts, and we had better learn how to reduce those risks.
What can be done to reduce those risks?
Well, in the past, much of the attention has been focused on conflicts between one nation and another. And so there are a number of mechanisms to reduce interstate conflicts. There are treaties that countries sign that allocate water from one country to another. There are international mechanisms and the tools of diplomacy that can reduce these conflicts. And they've been pretty successful. We see more cooperation than conflict over water at the state-to-state level, at the country-to-country level. But I'm increasingly concerned about subnational conflicts over water. And I would argue that the mechanisms we have are not quite as good for reducing those conflicts.
What are those mechanisms?
Well, obviously, politics and negotiation and diplomacy is the key mechanism. But we also have to think about laws and regulations to allocate water from one group to another so that it's clear who has water rights. We could look at market mechanisms in economics to allocate water from one user to another. So technical solutions, there are political solutions, there are diplomatic solutions, there are economic solutions. I think we have to look pretty broadly to figure out how to solve these problems.
Now, when we take into account all the threats to water, whether they're climate change, limited resources, growing demand, etc., what could we do to ease the situation? What would be the three top recommendations that you have for policymakers and people that take care of water management resources?
I think we have to move from the 20th century idea that all we had to do was find new supply, build another dam, drill another groundwater well, move water from the farther river to a place of scarcity and demand, to a concept of what I call the soft path for water. And the key principles are we have to rethink supply. That is, think about treated wastewater as an asset. Think about rainwater harvesting. Think about groundwater recharge and reuse as a new source of supply rather than taking more and more water from overstressed ecosystems in rivers and lakes. The second aspect is rethink demand. We can do a lot of what we already do with water, with less water. We can grow more food with less water. That's the issue of water efficiency and productivity. The third thing is rethink economics. I think smart economics can play an important role in solving many of our water problems, but we have to both price water properly and we have to protect the poorest populations. And then finally, I would add a fourth issue, and that is smart institutions. We have to have institutions that think about watersheds as a whole, that think about integrating energy and food and climate change and water resources all together instead of thinking about those issues separately. And that may require smarter institutions today.